chapter 20, Luke chapter 20. It's Luke chapter 20. That's it. 20 was on my mind. That's it. All right. At least we try to link the insanity that is on display. And Luke chapter 20, we're going to read verses 41, end of the chapter, and then I'm going to read the first four verses of chapter 21. The title of the message, three things that bring glory to Christ. Three things that bring glory to Christ. Luke chapter 20, verse 41. And he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes, these religious leaders, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets, in the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Chapter 21, verse 1, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites, 2 cents. We don't even have pennies anymore. But they did then. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury, or she of her poverty, penury, hath cast in all the living that she had. Three thoughts today, just three things that bring glory to Christ. These are just good passages. Now, look at verse 41. Jesus asked them, he said, how say they that Christ is David's son? Is Christ, Jesus Christ, was he, is he, from a physical perspective, is he of the line of David? Yes. Was it incorrect to call and say that he is David's son? No. But what's he saying here then? How say they that Christ is David's son? And then he refers to a psalm where David said in the psalm, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And then he makes it clear, David therefore saith unto him, calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Here's the thing I think that Jesus is dealing with. And the first way we can really bring glory and honor to Christ is the proper honor of Christ. I think today, of all days, just nothing changes. If there is the issue within churches, within my heart, within our lives, is how do we view Christ? I love this. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I love in Hebrews that it says he called Abraham a friend. He's a friend of God, and God is my friend. Christ is my friend. Christ is my joy. But I think we've missed it, right? And it all begins with just so much disrespect, right? And I know it's okay, right? I laugh. One of the cool things about getting older is the stupid new terminology, right? Bruh, right? It's like, bruh. I don't even know. It's not bro, is it? It's like, bruh. Bruh. I mean, whatever it is, right? I enjoy it. I'm so happy for you. Bruh, right? It's like, I mean, you know, it's like, what's so funny is I've adopted some of it too. You know how you answer something? You go, no, yes. We all do that. Where did we pick up on that? That's dumb. No, yes. Yes, no, 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 yes. Yeah, I mean, but here's the key. We have taken Christ. It's okay. I can be your bruh, right? But we take Christ to that level. You see, and in our own minds. I'm not just talking about our communication. How do we view Christ? I love this. I'm not trying to encourage you to view Christ as something less than, but I'll tell you this, we need to see Him as glorified, as the King of Kings, and as the one that He is. He said, how do they say that Christ is David's son? It's interesting. I want to show you this passage, Matthew 16. He's always interested in who do men say that I am? Because one of the critical things is, who do you say that He is? I'm not just talking with your lips, but with your heart, with your mind, with your attitude. How do you value Christ? How do you view Christ? How do I view Christ? Let me tell you, when we sin, that answers a lot of questions. But he asked this in Matthew 16. We went over this in Sunday school. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Because it's important that you know who Jesus is. There's a lot of false Jesuses out there. Do you know the real one? The only way you're going to know the real one is the Word of God. The Muslims have a Jesus that's not biblical. The Hindus have a Jesus that's not biblical. The Mormons have a Jesus that's not biblical. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a Jesus that's not biblical. I could go on and on and on. I tell you that because you're going to find a lot of religions, and all of them talk about Jesus. I ask people all the time, how do you know who's right? And they go, man, that's a good question. That's really good. I go, well, God gave us a book. But the devil's been so effective. In 90%+ of people that I meet, the Bible's just a book that, man, it was good when it was first given. But men have destroyed it. What a pathetic God that couldn't overcome men. I have news for you. He's bigger than men, and He told us He'd preserve it, and He did. You want to know who the real Jesus is? You need to get in the Word of God. And if you need help learning it, we'll get somebody with you, and we'll help you learn it. We want to come alongside you. We care for you. We're rooting for you. We want life to be good for you, no matter what. No matter what you judge my spirit is. You know what? I want you to have a great life. And I just know this. It's only in Christ. You can say the same thing back to me, and you can say, you know, you have issues, Steve. I go, I know. Which ones are we going to talk about today, right? But it's this. I want you to know this. I am rooting for everyone. I don't want anyone to destroy, crash, and burn. Not one soul in this room. The key is, who is Christ? So he asked them. He says, whom do men say that I am? And they said, well, some John the Baptist. Not even close. Some Elias. Not even close. Some Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He saith him, but whom do you say that I am? Oh, he gets to the heart of the matter. Whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ. That means the promised one, the anointed one. You're the one that's been talked about since the first day of sin. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answers him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said this, do you know who Christ is? It's a big deal. I want to take you to some passages so we begin to understand. Remember, Jesus is God. It's so funny when people say Jesus never claimed to be Lord. He's quoting this scripture from David that says he called him Lord. He's saying, and that's correct. Remember when he washed the disciples' feet and he said, do you know what I've done to you today? He said, you call me Master and you call me Lord and you've done well. He said, you call me Lord. That's spot on. And people say, Jesus never claimed to be God? He said, if I, your Master and your Lord, have done these things, you ought to do these unto each other as well. Isaiah 6, this really is just God in His glory. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah speaking by the inspiration of God, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and there's always glory and angels and praising Him. Each one had six wings. With two or twain He covered His face, and with two or twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. All the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in its hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I want you to see Isaiah's response is this. When he saw the Lord in all of his glory, he was shaken. When's the last time? Just imagine I'm preaching to myself. I look in the mirror. Hey, Steve, when's the last time I was ever shaken by the reality of who Jesus is? I'm telling you, he is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's not my bro. Right? He's not. I just see so many things. I'm telling you this. If you, when you think of Jesus, you see golden long hair, then the devil's also sold a lie to you. Some effeminate sissy boy. I want you to understand that he wasn't. He wasn't. I'm telling you, nowhere you have ever seen a Jewish man with long golden hair. No, here's the amazing thing. All of the apostles knew where the barber was, but Jesus didn't. Go look at the Last Supper. They all clean cut, man. I see their ears. The Bible says that nature teaches us that it's shame for a man to have long hair. And they want to make Jesus some long-haired sissy boy. You know why? Because it just lowers how we think of him. See, Jesus humbled himself and he became one of us, and we can't imagine how much he humbled himself to become one of us. But let's not make him one of us. You understand the difference? How do they call Christ the Son of David when David called him Lord? You see, we ought to be in awe that Christ loved us, became one of us. He died, was buried, and rose again. We'll talk about it as we get into the future chapters of Luke, as we're coming to the tail end of Luke, these last four chapters. But it is, Jesus didn't look the same after he came out of the grave. You all don't have to agree with me on that. Nobody recognized him. The Bible says there was no beauty that we should desire him when he came in the flesh. He was homely. I don't say that to be insulting. He did it because he didn't want physical attraction to be the reason why people would follow him. He wanted them to follow him because they knew he was the hope for their sins, and he was the hope to live for them eternally. And he wanted them to believe in him because of him. I ask you this. Everybody tells me, I'm good. I know Jesus. But most don't. Their lives will be different. My life will be different. How do I view Jesus matters. I want to show you just one other passage. Revelation chapter 1. This is John in a vision given by God. He said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, speaking of Christ, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. This is speaking of Christ. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. You know, I told you this morning, we take it literally, but the Bible's saying it's like this. It sounded like this. And the voice of him sounded like the sound of many waters. Man, that's a voice, right? You know, I mean, it's intimidating. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. You see what John's response? He said, I fell at him as dead. This is the John that walked with Jesus for 3 years. This is the John that never mentions his own name in the Gospel of John. And he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It sounds as though of the 12, the one that had the closest relationship with Jesus was John. And when he saw the unveiled Christ, the Christ in all his glory, he fell down as dead. What's the issue with America? It's Christians. What's the issue with Christians? We view Christ as human. We view Christ as merely the Son of David. It's my issue. It's your issue. How do you view Christ? You want to glorify Jesus Christ today? then you will ask and you will pursue and you say, oh Lord, I want to see you as high and lifted up as who you are. I never want to get that away from my own mind, my own eyes, my own thoughts. That'll change our lives. That'll change our lives when we see Christ. And the beautiful thing is we keep studying, we keep learning, we keep loving, and we're going to see him better and better every year, every day that goes on. The key to Christianity is how we view Christ. The key to Christianity, abiding in Christ, all these things mesh together, right? You hear me say this. The key is, how do we view Jesus Christ? If you remember one thing, I want you to take it very personal. I want you just to say, how do I view Christ? Do I view him as enough that he is worthy of my life? He's worthy of my all. We sing this, right? What was the words of that song? What was the words of the song? We don't even have them in here anymore. I have to patch in here. I don't even know. It's probably on. What's that? All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. All I... is my life. Jesus is my life, right? All right. You guys, just talk it, Steve. Please don't sing. But, you know, we see that. I mean, I will tell you this. That is the key, Damien, that Jesus is my life. But I'm afraid he's not. I almost sound crazy sometimes because I praise the Lord. I've been involved in ministry even before I was a pastor so long. But I'm telling you this, I don't care how old you are in Christ, you and I need to review, how do I truly view the living Christ? He is not merely the son of David, though I praise the Lord he fulfilled all that prophecy, and he came by flesh through the Jewish people, through the line of David, fulfilled all the prophecy, but he is the living God. I want you to understand that. How you view Christ will mean everything for this life, and it will mean everything for the life to come. If you don't know who Jesus is, you're not saved. I'm talking in its simplicity, that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is God. And he died for you, was buried, and rose again. I'm not talking complicated. Second thing I want you to see is spiritual humility. We're looking at three things that bring glory to Christ. First one is just proper honor of Christ. It's probably my most just loved part of this message was the first one, the proper honor of Christ. I thought about just making a singular message and I didn't, but it's a good message. How do we view Christ? Second one, look at verse 45. Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto the disciples, beware the scribes. You must understand the people were shocked. Imagine somebody walked in here and they were a guest preacher. And I'm sitting on the front row, which is wide open. I've never seen that in years. It's what happened? I don't know. The cows scared them or something. And so I don't have front row scholars today. Don't have front row scholars today. I got left wing scholars, but I no front wing scholars. And if a guest speaker came in here and he said, beware of Steve! Phony baloney! That's what he's got to understand this. The scribes were right there. It's not like, come on over here. Let me tell you a little secret. They were right there. You imagine that? I don't know what I would do. I think if it's true, I ought to take it. But you got to understand, he says, beware of the scribes, and they are in the midst. These phony religious leaders, which desire, they want your praise. They want your affirmation. They want you to think they're all that. Look, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes. They got the look. Love greetings in the markets. They love the elevated status and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast. But I'll tell you this, they're thieves. They devour widows' houses. They're just there to take advantage of people. And there's a lot of those there today. I'm telling you this, we got to be careful. I'll tell you, you should judge me by the scriptures. And Jesus said, by their love you shall know them. It's an intimidating statement for me. I need to love more warm, visibly, gently, all those things, I'm super challenged. If you understood what I believe when I look in the mirror, my greatest weakness is my greatest need. My greatest weakness is love. It terrifies me at times. Because God is love. Christ is love. Why do I do what I do? Do I do it so I feel better about myself? You see, I want you to understand this. It is, do you want other people to think well of you spiritually? I don't know if we can ever fully escape that, right? But we got to fight it when it's conscious in our minds. Jesus, did you see what he said about these false religious leaders? And you'll understand, when I talk about other religions, many people are very uncomfortable with that because they say, how dare you? Jesus looked at them and they were in the midst. And you got to understand, these scribes were there, and he said, look at the end of verse 47. He said, the same shall receive greater damnation. I'm not saying I should be that bold. I hate false religion. I don't hate anybody by God's grace. If I had hate in my heart for anyone, I'm evil and that's sin. I want you to understand that. But there are false religions galore in the 21st century, damning people to hell in the name of God. Allah's just Arabic for God. It's in the name of God. It's Catholicism will damn souls by the millions, because Jesus isn't enough in Catholicism. People say, how dare you speak about that? I speak of it because it's so blasphemous. And Jesus, he talked about the religious leaders in his own hometown. I want you to understand this. But now let's just bring it back home here. What about you? Is Christ really your love? Is he your passion? Or do you care more about what people think? What are you like when nobody's around? Is Jesus even a thought that you have? Do you want to honor him when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas station, when you go to work? Is Christ in your mind? Is he your love? And you're just begging him, help me to share Christ. One of the things I love, and I'll try, I heard some good stories. Somebody told me about some things that you guys are doing behind the scenes to help people, disciple people, and pull them in. I'm tempted to bring them up because I love it, and it warms my heart. I haven't even thanked those. It's not about this. Part of it says, I don't want to mention anybody when I hear something good, like, hey, Jacob, no, I don't, because then I'll destroy you, right? I don't, hey, you know, I don't. I'm just telling you this. I love hearing that. You know why? That means more to me. It's like, well, they weren't doing that, so I was impressed. They did the hard thing. Man, I love that, because it encourages me that, well, maybe their motive is Christ. Maybe they're doing it because they just love Jesus enough that says, I want to help you. You come here. I'm going to help you. You see, that's what Christianity is about. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about us helping others know him better. You see, you can understand your life. I just ask you this. What's your life like? Is Jesus really a part of your life, or are you just a churchgoer? It's good to go to church. A lot of people going to church are going to hell. Is Jesus Christ your love, your passion, or are you here today because you just, you know, I know they'd say something to me if I wasn't here. Well, you know, I need to do him because I'm tired of hearing it from people. I hope nobody ever criticizes you, but I pray that it's because people love you. I know this. You know, I'm telling you this. You should come to church regardless. But I want to challenge you. Why do you come to church? Here's the answer. What do you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? That'll tell you why you come to church. If Jesus isn't a part of your life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and no one over months, over years, could ever go to heaven because of your testimony, because of your speech, because of your desire to exalt Christ, I doubt you're his. So you'll know what your motive is by all the other days. The way we honor Christ is spiritual humility. I need to do a better job. I want to be a thankful pastor, but I want people to be able to serve the Lord in humility, in privateness. But man, I love hearing about it. I love hearing about it secretly because it so encourages me. There is a ton more work going on that I don't know about. I am thankful. I am thankful for you. When I preach to you, it's not to criticize. It's really not. It's just, why do we do what we do? Do we really love Jesus Christ? Do we love Him? Final thought. I want you to see. Final thought. I had verses here. I'm going to move on from those verses for sake of time. Faith-driven sacrifice. Let's read verses 1 through 4 of chapter 21. These are three ways, I believe, that Jesus is highlighting right before He is soon to go on the cross. Look at verse 21, chapter 21, verse 1. And He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And so they, not at all the synagogues, but many synagogues would have this kind of urn kind of thing that was twisted. And when you would put your money in, it would, you know, the more money you had, it'd be like, whoa, man, look at that racket. Everybody would turn and be like, wow, man, that's a giver, you know? And then, you know, a little widow, you know, ding. Thanks for nothing. That's what all the rich guys said. They loved. Why would you have a noisy offering box? Woo! Well, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, it's because you want great job. Now, what Jesus shows, see, this isn't about money. This isn't about money. These verses aren't about money. Look at verse 1. And He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And He saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And He said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. What? Jesus is a moron. That's what they're thinking. And then He says, verse 4. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury, of her poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. Faith-driven sacrifice. It's not about money. It's really not. She gave of her need. Three examples I'm going to give you of faith-driven sacrifice. One is Abraham. Remember, Abraham took his own son Isaac up onto Mount Moriah, which, if you ask me, I believe Mount Moriah is exactly where Jesus was crucified. It's called Mount Calvary, the very spot. Not one inch different. This is what I believe. We'll find out in heaven. God goes, man, I appreciate that, but not true. It was the greatest picture, one of the greatest pictures in Genesis 22 of God sending His own son. But Abraham, when he took Isaac up there, he drew the knife back, and the angel, Abraham, Abraham! Dropped it real quick. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Abraham was accounting that God was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in the figure. Abraham said this, if God wants me to sacrifice my son, and just remember the story of Abraham. Little difficulty having that son. Stinking 100 years old. Right? I don't want to live to be 100. You know, I'd be like, Sarah. I don't want to live to be, I mean, I want to live as long as God wants me to live, right? I just don't want to be at 100. I don't. He had to wait till he was 100 years old to have this son. And then God tells him, and I believe he was probably about the age of Jesus, God tells him, hey, Abraham, I need you to kill Isaac. He said, what? You need me to kill Isaac? This son, the son of promise? Yeah. And he was, I'll tell you, you got to love this. It's one of the greatest acts of sacrificial faith in the Bible. And God said, no, you don't have to do it. Second, Moses. Moses is just a great example. Look at Hebrews, I could have picked anybody from Hebrews potentially. Moses was loaded. Moses had it all. Moses was a prince of Egypt. Moses would have just in the lap of luxury the rest of his life, and he rejected that. He rejected that. Look at this, verse 25, Hebrews 11. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I also remind you this, the reproach of Christ. He had his faith in the Messiah. He said this. Moses had eternal mindset. Because I'll tell you, if you have temporary mindset, ain't no way you'd do what Moses did. No way. You'd be like, pass the caviar. Thank you. The cracker's a little stale. What's the problem here? Get it right. I could do that. I love watching these little clips with steaks, you know? Because when I'm trying to diet, you know, I watch videos that might make me feel more full. Doesn't always work well. But I enjoy a good steak, right? Oh, man. And I watch these guys, and they're like, you haven't had steak until you pay $180. I'm like, I ain't paying no $180 for a steak. And it's Moses had it all, and he said, you know what? Christ is more important. Sacrifice. And third, Mary, Martha's sister. I didn't put up a scripture verse, but John 12. You're going to love this story, ladies. Lady, this is one of the most greatest, just most beautiful pictures, and Jesus actually said that. I don't think I put the scriptures in there, did I? Did I put the scriptures in there? I did. Okay. I just did it last night. You'd think I'd remember, but so John chapter 12, this is where Lazarus is risen from the dead, and they want to kill Lazarus now. And remember, in John 11, they're like, Jesus, if you had been here, our brother hadn't died. Because you understand, when the brother died, they were almost guaranteed, from a human perspective, destitute, poverty, just life would be miserable from a human standpoint. But when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, here's what I'm convinced she did. Just watch this. We'll just read this. There they made him supper, and Martha served. Mary and Martha were sisters, and Lazarus was her brother. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, Simon's son, who would betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence, a year's wages, and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, was the treasure, and bare what was put therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. You know what I think that spikenard, the pound of ointment of spikenard, you know what I think that represented? That represented her fallback. Her maybe retirement if something bad happened. You know what? Here's what she said. Jesus, I'm so sorry. You can raise my brother from the dead. You can take care of me. You don't have to give your retirement to the Lord. You know what she did? She honored him with sacrificial faith. I'm convinced she said, you can have it all. I'm not telling you have to do that. I'm just telling you, you want to honor God? You'll never be too committed. And then the final example of sacrificial faith is Jesus. He honored his Father. He honored himself. He honored the Scriptures. And then this is crazy. He honored you. All this is about Christ. This widow, I can't wait to meet her. I, you know, she's going to have this humility about her, right? She didn't put that in there to impress people. In fact, this probably went through her head. You're so stupid. These two mites will never make any difference, and people are going to make fun of you. Why would you do this? And there's something right about her heart, because she said, I want to give something. And she put it in there, and she was mocked. Except by one person, and that was God. This whole message this morning, he's worthy, he's worth it. How do we view him? Are we doing everything so people will praise us? Or are we doing it for him? And then I don't know. I want to be like that widow, but I don't want to be that poor. Do you want to be that poor? I don't. If I was that poor, I wouldn't give the two mites. You know why? I would have said, waste of time. Waste of time. You know, we have a penny offering for Vacation Bible School. And I watch these kids. These kids have a better mentality than we do. Some of these kids save up their pennies all year long. I've known of kids that come to Vacation Bible School and they give it all. $26.31. Usually the stinking girls, all right? That's the problem. That's the problem. So the girls always beat the boys. So boys, would you just get with it and have a little sacrifice? And there is a beauty. I hear stories behind the scenes. I watch these kids come up. And oh, that I would have their heart. Ron, remind them. Randall, remind them. They're given to Christ. It's a privilege, right? And some of these kids, they are literally given it all. They honor Christ better than us. Just remember this morning. First, I've preached, and the only hope is if you know Christ, if you're lost, you should know it with this kind of message. Is Jesus really the love of your life? Is he really, is he existent anytime after church? If not, you need Christ. But old Christian, we want to turn Fairfield upside down. I think these three thoughts are the key. Proper honor of Christ, that we get him in our minds, not just as the man, but as the Lord. Spiritual humility, faith-driven sacrifice. Let's pray.